Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the special Halloween edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We know, yeah, it's not Monday, but most people are celebrating, at least in some way, this weekend. Kids will still probably go trick-or-treating in the early start of the week, but a lot of Halloween-themed events going on this weekend. We might as well join the party here with our scary good, scary bad, and scary crazy aspects to American politics. And, Jim, let's start with something that's scary good. We have a lot of scary bad things going on right now, but what do you see out there that is actually scary good?
I was thinking about this, and it's kind of a strange thought exercise of what scares you that is good, or what is a good scare. And I actually think the America losing its AAA credit rating may be a good teachable moment, or you know, if it can spur serious action in this country to control spending, then it can be a very good thing. And having said that, and you know, Obama's poll numbers definitely took a dip after that occurrence. I think for a lot of Americans, the idea that the U.S. government was not considered AAA, that we were not considered, you know, trustworthy to repay our debts, I think that really shocked a lot of people. And you saw, obviously, a big impact on the market. And I think there was just kind of this, this unnerving economic anxiety was further underlined by this development. And I think that if you know, something like that, as much as it is not good for the country to lose its AAA credit rating, I noticed that Kate Burnett, who's now with CNN, keeps doing this countdown every day of X number of days since we lost our credit rating. I think it's up to like 85 now. It's kind of interesting she's doing this countdown, or count up, I guess you could say, because I don't see any effort to get it back. I'm not seeing an enormous amount of action in terms of controlling spending, and we know the Republicans certainly aren't going to support raising taxes. And I'll be honest, I'm not really sure that you can raise enough taxes to get, you know, to take care of America's, you know, financial problems. What's, you know, a little scary is how little action we've seen spurred by it. But having said that, for a long time, there's always been this attitude of kicking the can down the road on controlling spending, controlling entitlements, et cetera. And I'd like to think that losing the AAA rating could be something that says, all right, we've run out of road. We really need to start dealing with these issues now.
Yeah, along the same lines, I think you have to look at the economy, because the economy's got a lot of scary aspects to it. But I like a couple of things. Number one, and I got to give a lot of credit to the new Tea Party influence in Congress. I like the fact that we actually came as close as we did on the debt ceiling deadline and so forth, because we didn't just go along with the easiest thing to get done. In the end, there were still a lot of conservatives that weren't happy with the deal that was struck, but it was a lot better than what would have happened had Republicans not controlled one chamber of Congress. I like the fact that also the Republicans and the Tea Partiers in particular are standing firm against the president's jobs bill. Shockingly, a lot of these provisions are pretty popular among the American people, even though it's pretty clear that Obama's only doing this to get through 2012, to put up artificial economic numbers that look better so he can get reelected. And he's obviously launching this whole class warfare thing. And despite the fact that the media is blasting them all around, and the American people seem to be falling for it to a larger extent than I would hope, the Republicans are standing firm on principle. And that's scary good, even though the numbers may not end up working as well for them as we thought.
I can see a lot of people saying, really, how good are these scares? But that's what you get when we get these kind of Halloween weekend thought exercise martini lunches. So.
Exactly. A spine is a good thing, and it's good to see that stiffening, and we'll see what the political ramifications of that are a year from now. But as of right now, it's requiring some political courage, and I like that. So on to scary bad, Jim. No shortage here. What topped your list?
I think there's a lot of folks who would probably say, oh, Obama's economic policies or something like that. And look, you know, 3 years of 9% unemployment. We had some slightly better economic numbers yesterday. But let's face it, growth is insignificant. And for most Americans, this feels like a three-year or perhaps a four-year recession. There's a part of me that has this nagging doubt that if a Republican president takes office, and let's say they have a Republican Congress, and we get to take away the uncertainty of, is the government going to raise taxes? We take away the uncertainty of, is the government going to raise energy prices through cap and trade? We take away the uncertainty of, is Obamacare and our employers going to have to pay an enormous amount of new costs for health insurance for their employees? That if we do all that, that we still have so many people who have been out of work for so long that I'm not sure that they have the skills to find a successful career path in an economy that is, in a globalized economy that is changing really, really quickly. So there is no doubt, no shortage of economic gloom. And the idea that we really have entered some sort of new era in which the American middle class that you and I grew up with cannot thrive the way it used to. It's unnerving. That's very, very unnerving. I'd like to think that all of our traditional free market approaches are going to work, but on the other hand, the globalized economy expects a lot more out of workers. And I'll be honest, that there are times I don't sometimes wonder if what it demands is something that the American worker can't provide anymore, doesn't want to provide anymore, or that just turns into a worse deal for the American worker than it used to be. Yeah. I realize it's kind of very big picture and esoteric, but I think whether America can really thrive in this kind of rapidly changing global economic environment is probably my big, really scary martini of the day.
That is a very good one, and certainly indicative of the biggest challenge we face right now. I'm going to go a little bit off the economic path and talk about another scary aspect that really does scare me, and that's this administration's apparently complete lack of deference to the law. Whether you look at how the Justice Department just decided one day that it wasn't going to defend the Defense of Marriage Act anymore, how it has no intention of really enforcing immigration laws, and in contrast to that, goes after states that want to do it when the federal government won't. You have the president just deciding now that he's going to advance aspects of his jobs agenda with or without Congress. If they don't want to go along, well, we'll just do it anyway. And that's just this kind of attitude of my way or the highway that he's had. And now it's actually going into this constitutional crisis almost, because not only is he doing it, he's getting away with it. And except for a few folks on the sidelines who are pointing it out, the bulk of the American people either are unaware of it, which would be more excusable, or they simply don't care. They think it's because of politics, or they simply don't understand the way that the system works. To some extent, that's fair because they have lives to live, but other people should really be raising howls of outrage here that this administration just seems to be trampling all over the rule of law and, in a lot of cases, the actual tenets of the Constitution.
I understand Obama for America's new Twitter hashtag is, "We can't wait for constitutional niceties."
That's a long hashtag.
It is. It takes up a whole bunch of those characters you got. But nonetheless, I think that kind of summarizes their worldview, which is to say that, look, we want something and Congress is being a pain, so give it to us. And in light of that, maybe we shouldn't be so surprised to see a certain kinship with or the Occupy Wall Street crowd.
Yeah.
Which is my nice segue to the third crazy martini.
Yeah, that pretty synonymous. Go for it.
Well, this is kind of ties into a little bit into the bad martini, which is that, look, we've seen anti-war protests. We saw the anti-World Bank protests in Seattle back in 1999. It's not surprising that we would see a whole bunch of people get together and beat drums and chant and look at naked women in body paint and stuff like that. Okay, so we've seen this sort of thing before. But what's interesting, it is going on week after week after week. And the polling numbers, while not really impressive for Occupy Wall Street, aren't exactly bad either. And so I kind of wonder if, we've always kind of known that class warfare and economic resentment and envy have always been a very seductive course for any politician willing to dip into the pools of populism. And, I kind of wonder if, look, as we've mentioned, Americans have been through 3 years of hard times, heading into 4 years. And, one of the things that a lot of people kind of laughed at, we've always had sociology majors. These are folks out there who studied things and they couldn't get jobs after they graduated. Yes, but before, say, 2008, and I'd say late 2008, the economy always had enough entry-level jobs where you could do data entry or clerical work or just very basic entry-level jobs that people who had studied anthropology or something that doesn't easily translate well to work after graduation, you could do that and take a certain amount of time to develop something in your chosen field. Well, since the recession started, we really haven't had that anymore. And so I think that's what's fueling a lot of these folks who are out there at these protests, this sense of look, the entry into the workforce has been shut for the past 3 years. And so I kind of wonder if at some point people just start saying, okay, it must be somebody else's fault. It must be the rich people on Wall Street's fault. It must be Republicans' fault. It must be that the desire for a scapegoat gets exponentially larger with each year of recession. So that next year, come election time, that as much as Barack Obama will have presided over 4 years of economic misery, they will be very happy to find somebody to blame and lash out at somebody. I think it's a very dangerous thing. I think it's kind of what Paul Ryan was talking about this week. I wish I had a really good way to refute it or fight back against it. I'll be honest, I don't think I really have a good way of doing this, and I'm open to suggestions. I think the traditional free market arguments are not really reassuring people during times of great economic anxiety.
That's certainly the case, it seems, right now, given the numbers you pointed out. A CBS poll saying 43% of Americans support the Occupy Wall Street protest, only 27% oppose them, which is kind of scary, to say the least, and that would certainly go along with this. When I was contemplating scary crazy, Jim, I thought about just saying Joe Biden and ending the podcast, but especially given his ridiculous crime statistics and how crimes will skyrocket if we don't pass the jobs bill, I'm going to, at risk of being a flip-flopper on the level of John Kerry, I'm going to go back to the debt ceiling deal that I said wasn't that bad a minute ago and kind of echo Newt Gingrich in saying this super committee is a super scary, crazy idea, because right now you have got Democrats on this thing, and there's 6 out of 12 are Democrats, of course, pushing a stimulus bill inside a committee that is designed to cut spending. And so to pay for it, they're pushing $1 trillion in tax hikes. And I assume they know that this is not going to fly with the 6 Republicans on the panel. So not only was this perhaps unconstitutional, as Ron Paul has suggested, to even create this super committee, but then the idea that if they don't come to an agreement, which is extremely likely, you're going to have these huge cuts in defense spending, which puts this nation's security at great peril. And obviously, you can blame the Democrats for pushing an extremist agenda that will make an agreement almost impossible to get. But ultimately, Republicans had to agree to this idea back in the summertime for us to be even put in this pickle. So a lot of blame's got to be put at their feet as well, even though it was probably the best deal they could have hammered out. But definitely a big black eye on that agreement from earlier in the year. And it's scary to think just how crazy this is going to end up next month and beyond.
Greg, you flip-flopper. having said that, if you'd said to me in years back, at some point, the inability to reach an agreement between President Obama and Republicans in Congress, and honestly, Reid in Congress isn't helping either, that we'd effectively create an American Politburo, I would have said, no, that'll never get that bad. And the simple answer is no, it is that bad. And, God knows what we're going to get out of the super committee.
Yes. Not to mention the fact that Obama and other Democrats are now suggesting that it is a Republican Congress in entirety, completely ignoring the fact that Democrats control the Senate and the House has about 15 jobs bills that are just languishing over there because they won't touch them. But, Jim, plenty to be scared of, but hopefully a very good martini coming our way on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Hopefully cheery news on Monday instead of the genuinely scary news of Friday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.